the inside linebackers, pop replacement, can you go in terms of who's going to be the first one up and who's going to be making the calls?
You know, it'll be similar to when Michael Kendricks was out. The neat part of our inside backer, really, within the scheme is they're kind of interchangeable. And they Rick Minner does a great job of teaching the concepts of both. So we can move multiple guys to the mic or the will, depending on what we need, if we're in base or nickel or how it works. So right now it'll be a similar rotation when Michael's out. We'll have Aucho and Casey handling first and second down duties at the D'Amico spot instead of the Michael spot. Right. So they're cross-trained and they'll be fine.
Are you concerned about just depth at inside linebacker right
now?
Well,
we've had a lot of hits at inside backer right now, but luckily when we made the decision to move Marcus back in when Michael was hurt, it's going to kind of benefit us now that we've got some weeks under our belt with Marcus in there. And you know, it's kind of right back to where we were when we were out without Michael.
But when those guys were playing without Michael, they had D'Amico there, who was incredibly experienced, yes, mature leader, you know, on the field with them. Yes. They don't have that, obviously, now. Yeah. Michael's a much less experienced guy. Sure. How does that affect the situation?
Well, on first and second down, when they take over, Michael's role really won't change in what he's done when D'Amico's in there. It's just who he's in there with that changes. So now Aucho and Casey will move over to D'Amico's role, and with the Mike linebacker comes making the calls and setting the defenses. So nothing will change for Michael Kendricks in that role. When we get to nickel and dime, now Michael will take more of a vocal role in setting the front. So we got small boxes for everybody, and that's kind of the way we've had success in replacing guys. Don't ask any one person to do everything D'Amico did. Ask a couple to do a small part and really master that small part.
Bill, have you seen improvement out of your outside corners in terms of playing on the ball, their play on the ball in the air, especially Bradley?
I think this week I think the corners had a great game, and they played the ball well. But early, real early in the season, they played the ball well, too. We hit a little run there where we weren't playing the ball in the air as well. But I think it's more consistent than it was is the best thing the best way to say it. But they absolutely played the ball well yesterday or the other day.
You insisted, even amid all the questions about moving Boykin out there, that you felt like things would start getting back to normal in terms of the outside cornerback play.
Absolutely. And we never lost faith in the outside corners. Every position has bad games, and this whole season it's a long one. So there's highs and lows to everybody's play. Where you just see the corners more, like last week, talk about safeties. When there's a mistake out there, their highs and lows are magnified. We have the same thing going on at the linebacker spot. We have the same thing going on at the D-line spot. It's just not as obvious to everybody when those highs and lows hit.
You had the D'Amico injury, punch to the gut after that game. Going forward, how tough is this going to be able to replace him? I know you have guys you say that are interchangeable, but he's one of the leaders on this team. How difficult is this going to be?
You don't replace the leadership. You just don't. I mean, leadership is something that is earned over time. D'Amico has got a lot of pelts on the wall, and he's earned it from – you saw the reaction from the Houston Texans. He's just that kind of guy. So you're not going to replace that part of him. What we're going to have to replace, and it's the NFL, the next man has to step up, and it's the setting of the fronts. It's the leadership role as far as the kind of the quarterback position of setting us up and making our checks. And we have tons of confidence in both Casey and Aucho for making those calls. They really have been doing it all camp when D'Amico's not in, and we give D'Amico a blow. So they're both highly intelligent guys. They've got a great understanding of the scheme. Both have been here for 2 years. Both have a lot of playing time to fall back on in the regular season. So that part of it we'll be okay with. It's the part that, you know, that is D'Amico, the man, that's his individual leadership that you're not going to replace.
How far has Casey come since last year?
I think the group has come. And, again, when you put in a new defense, everybody's got growth to do. But Casey and Aucho, they both are highly intelligent guys that have a lot of football, very calm out there. They make a lot of calls, you know, daily. So it's nothing new to them. They just weren't in the dominant role that D'Amico was, because D'Amico was the main guy.
What's the best way to explain why all the signals aren't coming from Kendricks, why he's not making all the calls for all three downs?
Because he's not the mic position. The mic position is the position that makes the call. And basically, in the nickel and dime, he moves to the mic linebacker spot. So on first and second down, he's the will. The will isn't our play caller. The mic is. So now Aucho and those guys go in and Casey, and they make those calls. When we go to nickel, he moves over to the mic and now is the primary caller. So it's the mic position that sets the front. That's how that works.
Would it be safe to assume that Marcus Smith now stays at inside linebacker for the rest of the season? And if so, does this stunt his development as an outside linebacker?
Well, he's not playing outside, so I'd say yes to that. But the inside part is going to grow him. And what we're hoping is the overall knowledge of the complete linebacker group, not just the outside, will help him grow eventually. But we definitely need him at the inside backer spot.
Bill, is preparing to play contained on Newton similar to what you had to prepare for with Kaepernick?
It's a lot. It's very similar. They're both big athletes that once the rush breaks down, even when it doesn't break down, that's the thing. Sometimes you have everything bottled up and that big athlete breaks through because they're such great runners. So he'll make some plays. We know that. But we've got to minimize those plays. We've got to make sure that we get it tackled quickly. The other night we got caught off guard a little bit with a quarterback that we had sacked a couple times. It got away, and it was a credit to him, but he got a lot of rushing yards because of it. But we absolutely have to be very disciplined in our rush lanes and have a nice pass rush game plan for him.
You expect the same way with the quarterback. Do you expect Carolina maybe to do more checks and audibles, knowing that you have a new defensive signal caller to try to screw your defense up?
Well, they do a lot already. They have a multiple offensive attack. They've got all the read options and the ghost, you know, the fake reverses with the option off of that. They've got a really broad offense. So I don't think they're going to add to it. I think if they just apply what they have, they'll be a challenge for us.
If you look at Marcus Smith long term, so beyond this season, can he be an inside linebacker throughout his career?
Everything's possible. I'm not looking at it the long term right now. Right now we're in this 1 week mode and see if we can get him as prepared as we can as inside. But I think his athleticism and skill set says yes. You can say yes to either outside or inside. I really do believe that.
What did you see on film from Earl Wolfe on Sunday?
Earl had a nice start. You know, you saw a little rust. You saw some. When guys don't play, when the action's fast on Sunday, everything's just a step late. The reaction to this or that or the other, and the visual part of it. It takes some reps on game day because the speed is so different to kind of get back in the swing. But he did it about as expected for not having any game experience this season.
Do you expect Nate back against Carolina?
I do. We're hoping for it. He's a day-to-day thing, and every time you're dealing with hamstrings, every day is, you know, you could set it back at any given practice. But he's going to push it and see how he can go, and we expect him to be back.
What are the ways that you use Trent Cole now? I mean, you line him up all over the place using different techniques. Could you imagine you'd be able to do that last year when he was just still in the process, that he would be, you'd be this versatile by now?
That's part of the growth. It's part of everybody. What we do is we don't grow it until we're confident everybody understands where we are and we're real good at this. And then we change it to make it easy on us and difficult on our opponents. So their number counts change. The offensive line has to have a discussion when Trent Cole's standing up in the middle or when he's over a guard or when he's outside wide. Same thing with Connor and where his location is, where Vinny, Fletch, all the guys. We're moving them all around and changing the structure, so they have conversations about it. None of it very hard in and of itself. I think when you put it all together, it gets a little complicated.
With that, though, when he went the first 8 weeks without a sack, and there was a kind of growing perception that he had nothing left in the tank and he was on his way out, now you're using him in so many different ways. He seems almost like a different player than he was.
We don't see it that way because it's like Fletcher Cox right now. You watch every snap. Fletcher is moving the quarterback. He is always back there. The sacks will come for him. It was the exact same thing about Trent. Trent is always moving that quarterback. I don't care where we put him. Trent is going to influence that pocket. That's just the way he brings his pass rush. So we didn't view him as having, you know, a lesser impact just because the sack numbers aren't talking to you. Sack numbers don't we don't even look at them. It's the rest of it. It's what his role was, and did he move the quarterback off the spot.
You guys have faced a lot of good quarterbacks that have been mobile. Can you go back and look at those games and say, okay, we did this well against Luck, we did this well against Kaepernick, and use that in this game, or is Cam Newton just a completely different guy in this, and you can only look at the Cam Newton?
You can in theory, but then there's the break the tackle. You have everybody in the right spot, and they're such unique runners. When you talk about Kaepernick and Cam Newton, they're different than the other ones. They run faster, quicker. They've got some moves. So they are true runners that can throw. So even though you have the plan in place, you still have to get the tackle down, and that's what you have to emphasize. First, rush as a group. Secondly, get them down when you have the opportunity, when you do get your hands on them. For instance, this last game, we had our hands all over the quarterback. We didn't get him down, and he wasn't the runner that the Cam is. So we've got to make sure that when we do put our hands on him, he comes down.
Bill, after the Niners game, Marcus Smith seemed kind of down on himself. What have you seen from him since then as far as practice and development and progress and just his confidence? Where do you see him at right now?
You know, the confidence level really comes from making plays in games. So in practice, you're always going to gain confidence but it's not, you know, make or break, you know, like Sunday with everybody watching. So when he gets in the game and has some success, his confidence will grow. But he's working every day the same. He's the same guy. He's not down. He works hard. He's getting better in practice. And he'll get better as we go.
Do you anticipate that his role will increase with D'Amico out, or is he just a step closer?
Well, right now it'll start small. It'll start small. It'll be more than it has been because we're down on inside backers, so we'll use him a little bit more. But it'll still start small and then grow as we see it needs to.
Could you lean more on that dime package, given the strengths and weaknesses of the inside linebackers right now?
Yeah, and we were. We really, the dime, you know, we lost Michael for a while, so we really didn't have it, and we did it a little bit. And then now we lost D'Amico, so we'll probably lean on it about as much as we were going to anyway.
How are Casey Carol and Nacho different? And if there's not much of a difference, why not just play one as the guy next?
Well, we have a rotation going for almost every position, and we kind of think that helps us because they're also main core special teams players. So you can wear one out and you lessen your special teams when they really are both solid players for us. It actually strengthens us both in the defensive reps if they get high in our base package and our special teams play.
And you're using Carroll as a quasi-linebacker in dime. Obviously, he's very, very small for a linebacker, but is there any way to expand that role at all in passing situations that aren't dime?
Well, really, it's I'm thinking pass is coming when that's on the field. And they had an 18-yard run in dime, and you saw we didn't fit it up well because they're not trained as linebackers. They're pulling guard, and, you know, he's been a corner. And we talk about it. I'm trying not to hit that package against a run. But if they're going to run on 3rd and 18, they're going to get some. We should have got that down. But Nolan's getting better and better. He's always been in the outside corner world, and now we've asked him to come in. So your eyes change, and he's getting a lot better. But he's still, we tease all the time, he's going to put linebacker pads on when he gets out there. But he's doing a good job. He really is. He's got a good understanding.
I was going to ask you about that 3rd and 18. Does that make you, you know, obviously copycat league people see that 3rd and 4 and 3rd and 5 now? Does that become a cat and mouse with you and the offensive coordinator? So whether he might want to pop a 3rd and 5 run there?
They usually, their history shows if they're that guy that's going to – it's hard for them to run because if it doesn't work, then they get crucified. So they rarely do it. Most teams don't. It's actually – we knew that on 3rd and 15 or more that they did have the run tendency. We called – we were in dime to be in – you know, they could pass, but it just – we just didn't get it tackled, and we should have and could have, but we didn't.
Brzezinski is mainly a special teamer, but how long will it take to kind of get him up to speed at safety and get into the
big, you know, side? I don't know him well enough myself, so we'll see how quick his learning curve is, and we'll take it day to day and start with some real basic packages. And I really can't tell. I don't know how good of a learner he is and how much carryover from Jacksonville he'll have. So it'll time will tell.
Bill, too many offensive players talked after the game that they felt like they wore the Texans down with the tempo offense. As a defensive coach, what concerns you most when you go against tempo?
Just that long, sustained drives, and then back. Like our part defensively is we try to get our offense back on the field as quick as possible. And we know in those 3rd and 4th quarters, when they put that tempo on them, they're wearing down. So really, what you have to do is just, you know, you have to be in great shape defensively. But for our role on this team, it's how quick can we get the offense back on the field. Oh, yeah. And that's why teams try to run on us a little more. Thanks, Jeff.